something great, the whites, into a little interim bowl.
Into the Soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get Into the Soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. The show today is brought to you by the number 8 and the letter R, because my triple R rockin' radio redhead is finally back, Emily King.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good. Having a little heart attack there with some technical issues.
I'm still shaking. So
are you? Yeah, so am I.
Yeah,
I've got a beautiful little cocktail in front of me here, which is great, you know, because that's how we roll.
I had a little nip.
You did have a little nip of that? Yeah, we'll talk about it later. It's our weekly Wet Your Whistle.
Right on.
So what have you been doing? You just moved up from the depths of Tucson?
Yeah, it was actually funny. I ran into this lady the other day at Kohl's, and I was like, oh, you had knee surgery. She was walking around with a little crutch, and I was like, I had knee surgery. She's like, oh, really? Who did yours? I was like, it was in Tucson, and she just walked away.
Why?
I guess it's just the drudges of Arizona or something.
Okay. I had an interesting experience yesterday. I went to the Open.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's kind of like a classier Walmart. Yeah, and
how so?
we were in a skybox on the 16th. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the 16th's like a stadium.
It smelled like popcorn, stale popcorn.
It smelled like alcohol. And it looks like the Coliseum where you have to feed the guys to the lions. So it's in a totally enclosed thing. It's a par 3. It's 160 yards, I think. And so, you've got all these guys coming on here. And if they didn't make it onto the green in their first drive, everybody booed them.
Oh, that's harsh.
That was terrible. Because they already felt like crap because they didn't make it onto the green. But it was windier than heck out there, too.
And then they just unleashed the wild animals.
Yeah, they did, pretty much. But oddly enough, I didn't get drunk. I know, surprise, surprise, right? What?
I wish you could see my face right now.
I know, and, and everything was free. I know, and I still didn't do it. Yeah, it was fascinating. They had 164,000 people at this event.
Wow.
Yes, catered by one group. Can you guess who it was? Starts with an M.
Michael DeMaria.
Michael DeMaria. What? Oh, none of that. From the little crowd over here.
Doesn't that start with an M and end with an M? Isn't it M Catering?
Okay, now wait a minute. Who's this and why did he come in without me asking him to? That's Josh Hebert. He's going to be on the show later with a bunch of other little cuties. I'm so excited. So we're here today at Vertu, Honest Craft.
My GPS wants to call it Verdeau.
Wants to call it what?
On the way here, it was just like, you are now at Verdeau.
Okay. I actually came to dinner here last night.
How was it?
It was awesome.
I mean, the chef is sitting right next to you.
I know, right? I can't really diss him because we're actually sitting in his restaurant again this morning. And he got up early to be here, and we really appreciate that. So, no, my dinner was fantastic, and I'm actually going to tell you what I had because it was so good. We started with the charred octopus. Right. Outstanding. You know what? I don't really like octopus that much. Because it has to be have that not rubbery kind of thing going on.
I'm afraid to eat things that are that smart. But go on.
We had that. We did the asparagus with the duckade, the feta, bacon candy, which we're going to have to ask about, and some foie gras hollandaise.
Wow.
I know. I'm on fire all right now. And then the burrata. And I had the flat iron.
Always
perfectly prepared. Yeah. Shared it with Sammy. Someone did the smoked duck, and someone else did the scallops.
Awesome.
I know. It's a beautiful menu, and it's a beautiful place. They've got all these little Edison lights hanging from the ceiling, and it's just, I don't know, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You have to come out here. You know what I had for dinner last night?
What did you have for dinner last
night?
From where?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No.
Okay, well, didn't we talk at about 10 o'clock?
I just had a sip of this drink.
So. The Ronin rye. It's pretty tasty. I'm going to be very happy about it. So, did you make any New Year's resolutions?
No, actually.
No, year, I don't do that either.
I've given up on myself completely.
Have you?
I have no motivation to change or do anything.
Okay, well, yeah, but you have motivation here because we were having some serious technical issues. You rocked it, and now we are back up and on the air. True.
The shaking is lessening.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have a little more of this cocktail.
Me too.
So we are here today with the, well, not all seven of them because some of them are probably still sleeping, but the seven chefs who went to the James Beard House and are all wonderful, beautiful individuals, and we're going to talk to all of them and play around, have a soup of the week, a weekly wet, and we're going to go from there.
I am very much looking forward to this.
Okay, so we're going to bump her out, and we will be right back. This is Heidi Lee. You are into the soup.
It's Timothy Green's first day at school.
Mom, I can handle it from here.
What's in his backpack? He's about to fall
anything
over.
Anything he might need. There's a box of tissues and band-aids. There's a whole first aid kit, actually.
You don't have to be perfect.
Have a great day.
That's too much pressure.
Have the day you have.
To be a perfect parent.
There are two people who want you more than anything. They'll make mistakes, but they will love you more than you can imagine.
There are thousands of children in foster care who will take you just as you are. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm your host, Heidi Lee, and we are sitting in the lovely Two Honest Craft. Emily, how are you? Still
I'm
with me?
In there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. And so we have the seven chefs. Did you guys get a moniker like Magnificent or something? I think like we need to have like the, you know, a spaghetti western.
Magnificent Seven, yes. We all wear capes now.
Oh, you do?
It's kind of cool, yeah.
So you have a superpower?
Yes.
Okay. And that was Gio Oso. Hi, Gio.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? And
fantastic.
You're
magnificent.
We're actually sharing mics here today because I called Gio. Actually, I didn't call him. I'd never met him before. And so I just Facebooked him and said, hey, you don't know me, but, you know, would you want to be on my show? And he responded immediately, goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. Here's my email and here's my phone. Call me anytime. And I'm like, oh, wow. My eyes got like all big like Marty Feldman. And I'm like, well, that's cool. So I said, well, that's great. You know, is there anyone in particular that you'd like to play with? And he says, how about all seven of us? I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, I can do that. And this lovely guy arranged it for you all to be here today. I didn't have to lift a finger. He's hosting. So anyway, thank you very much. Pop that mic up to your mouth, baby.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, so cool. So I also have Josh Hebert.
Hello.
My brother from another mother.
Long time no see, everybody.
Have you guys not seen each other for a while?
Well, I was referring to you.
Oh, I know. I haven't seen you for, I came in for ramen about a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no, so we're back on the air after a four-year hiatus.
Has it been really been 4 years?
Yeah, wow. I ended the show at the end of October in 2011.
Seems like just yesterday.
Yeah, just yesterday. You know, went through hell for a couple years. Everything's good, though, now. I'm happy.
Good.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to all be here as well.
Oh, thank you. It has been quite a while. You used to play with me a lot on the radio.
Yeah, it was pretty much like once a month.
Yep. You'd come in and be my wingman.
I don't mind. You can call me Iceman.
I can Iceman?
Yeah.
Is that your superpower?
No, my superpower is common sense because it's so rare it could be listed as a superpower.
Oh.
That's true. I'll second that. It's not all that common.
It isn't all that common. And then down at the end of the table, we have Kelly Fletcher.
Indeed.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm very well.
Good. I haven't seen you for a while either since we were doing those pop-ups at Umami.
I know. Yeah. Crazy pop-ups.
And where are you inhabiting now?
Right
from Crudo.
No, I'm at...
Don't you live there?
I pretty much do. It is my mailing address because I'm homeless. No, I'm at...
Still?
Yeah. I actually still am homeless. I'm at El Toro right now.
Okay.
Yeah, having a great time.
I've seen pictures of your creations from there. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Love it. And then we also have Stephen Jones, whom I've never met before.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm good, good.
And
thank you.
And where do you play?
I play downtown at the Soto Central Market. I got a couple little food things in there.
Just a couple?
Just a couple.
Don't you have like three?
I have four.
four.
Yeah.
Okay, tell everybody what they are because I don't know.
I have a coffee place called Tea and Toast. I have a right.
You have to say that with a British accent.
I wish I could. I suck at a British accent though. I've tried multiple times. I have a raw bar called Walrus and the Pearl, as well as a burger bar called DC and Burger Joint. And then I have my baby, which is the Larder and the Delta.
Okay, so those are all very interesting names.
Very, very interesting names.
Are they, well, the Tea and Toast we can kind of imagine, but what about the other three? What do you do?
So at the raw bar, obviously, it's a lot of oysters, a lot of oysters. On any given day, even last night, we went 11 different types of oysters last
really?
Night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then at the burger bar, it's all burgers ranging from, I mean, it's from bison to turkey to Arizona grass-fed beef to pork. Then Larder and the Delta, it's a southern restaurant, so we do fun things on old slave food.
So do you come up with the menus for all of these places?
That I do.
Dude, do you sleep?
Not really.
No? Do you like... You know, smoke crack or
you know. You know, I'm gonna.
Like
I've been thinking about developing a habit. You know, what's that? It's that whole itch thing you get. You know, and, between that and my son, yeah, I don't sleep much.
Okay, how old's your son?
He's 10 months.
Oh my! Gio's got a new baby too, don't you, Gio?
I do. I have my son's going to be 2 in March, and my daughter just turned 5 months a couple of days ago.
And what's her name?
Her name's Juliana. Gigi. Gigi for short.
Gigi. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And then, but you're naming your. Your new restaurant, Nico, which is going to be where?
That's in Gilbert.
That's in Gilbert.
Right in downtown Gilbert in the Heritage Marketplace down there. And yeah, we named that after after my son, Nico.
So mm-hmm. Are you going to open another one and call it Gigi?
Possibly. You never know.
You
never know.
So
I hope
so. When's Nico opening?
We're looking more towards probably around May-ish sometime.
May-ish, okay.
Yeah,
and April, then you May. Have Vertu.
Then we have Vertu that's just doing really well.
So does that directly, literally translate to virtue?
No.
I Google Translate and right. I picked up Italian, but maybe that wasn't the language you were going for. I'm not sure.
It's actually a Machiavellian term that is for the...
Guys, no
look at this guy.
Machiavelli. Good morning. Okay. No freaking smart chefs on my show, please. I'm going to start feeling stupid.
it's the attributes that the prince must have to achieve greatness.
Oh.
So...
That's rather lofty.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Huh?
It is kind of cool.
Well, we try to achieve greatness here every day, you know. I mean, I don't think it's a possibility to achieve excellence, but we can certainly try.
Well, I mean, I think it's excellent. I've dined here twice, and I think it's phenomenal.
Thank you. Your
menu is not huge.
No. Well,
it's
we
like
have a really small
8.5 by 11.
Yeah, we have a small kitchen. We have a small restaurant. We only have 30 seats inside, and you know, another 30 seats outside. But we change the menu 2-3 times a week, so it's a lot of work to do that too. You know,
yes,
I'm trying to keep up with Stephen Jones 3 places. We change it 3 times a week. So
you guys got a little rivalry.
Keeping
going
up
on.
With the Joneses, you know what I'm saying?
That's cool. And what's the fare going to be at Nico?
Well, the name of the restaurant is Nico Heirloom Kitchen. So basically, it's recipes that I've learned from family members from other chefs. It's my interpretation of all those collections of recipes that I've learned along the way that I'm going to be passing down to my son.
Very nice. Do you think would you like him to come into the culinary crazy world?
Absolutely
that we live
not. But he already loves doing it. He loves to cook with Daddy. Yeah, he
at
does.
At 2?
Oh yeah.
Sweet.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You got him tasting like morels.
He
uni
eats everything.
Stuff like that. Really,
he eats everything. He really
just
does.
Just wait. It changes.
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I'm sure. The terrible twos are on the way.
You know what? My daughter never went through the terrible twos. For some reason, though, when she turned 3, she just started crying about everything. And that's just not me. You know, I'm slapping her around, going, knock it off!
It's because they're three-nagers.
They're three-nagers. I like that.
Three-nagers.
It's true.
I know. Now she's 17 and going off to college, and I'm like, oh, my God. All right, let's pass it down to Joshua.
Yes.
Where do you work?
I have a little teeny restaurant in Old Town Scottsdale called Posh.
Nobody knows about it.
Never heard of it. New place.
No?
No, you know.
Did you pick the name because it rhymes with yours?
I did.
Did you seriously?
Sort of.
Is it an acronym? Come on, come up with something.
Oh, no,
yeah,
Spice Girls.
It's the term they use in Britain to describe wealth. Or, you know, you don't say you're rich,
posh,
you say your family's
right.
posh.
Oh, you're posh.
And I just always liked it as a term for, you know, rich, almost the way that we use it in this country, it almost has like a negative connotation, like it's your fault that you've been successful. But the term posh almost just sounds like a way of life. And so, I think that's what a great meal should be. It should feel rich and comfortable.
He was a big fan of Posh Spice. That's really what it was.
Her name is Mrs. Beckham.
I like how you
but
know
she never
who
smiles,
she is.
Man. What?
I like how you know the difference. The different Spice Girls.
Heidi, it's called resting bee face. Okay, it's not that she doesn't smile. She has a wicked case of resting bee face.
Oh, what's your resting face? Do you have one?
Oh, I definitely have RBF.
Do you?
Most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Mine's like surprised constantly. Really? I didn't know that happened. Okay, so Kelly's at Charo. You're there. All right, so let's talk about the James Beard thing. Okay, so did you guys have like, and we're missing Bernie Kantak.
Right.
And we're missing Scott Holmes.
And Colin.
And Colin. And then Jacob Coutinho too, right? But wasn't he like hot sauce sidekick boy?
Right.
What was his place in it?
Fluffer?
he provided the sauce, Heidi.
Come on, Heidi. Catch up.
Still working on my first drink. So we have four of you, which is great. So my question is, did you have like an angel manager that watched you all perform individually and then brought you together like a boy band? That's supposed to be funny.
Would have been funny. No.
What? So what happened?
We were with Bernie
doing the pick up.
Yeah, and it's like, we were all so close. We were all just, like, really, really close. And it was, like, even when we didn't know each other, like, I didn't know Gio based on like, a friendship level until we all of a sudden started doing these pop-ups. And then we found out there was chemistry.
Okay. Between the seven of you, that's a lot of people. You know, that's a lot of chefs in a kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody's got a different style, too, which makes it almost flow a little more obviously, if that's the best way to say it. I mean, it's not a competing force. That's not what our generation has ever done.
Right.
You know, but it's also, I think that means a lot to everybody from the sense that, you know, we just all have different styles. And so we actually meld together well in these types of events.
Well, too many cooks spoil the soup. That's why we only have four people here today.
Oh, is that what
it is?
That's
what it is.
I thought they might have just be avoiding me like the plague. They're like, who is this chick? Do any of you really know her?
The whole thing really evolved in kind of a fun way. The first time we did it, it was for the pig out. And we were planning the second one while we did the first one. And by the time the first one was done, the second one was already kind of planned. And it just kind of fell into that. And then, you know, after we did an entire rotation at pretty much everybody's restaurant.
Okay.
What was
the time frame that this occurred?
Over the last two years.
Yeah. Okay. And then you just got... So we'll come back to that. Do we need to take a break, Emily?
Yeah, I think it's time. And my smoothie's ready.
So. I love you.
Let's do it.
Okay.
That was awesome, Emily.
We're going to take a little break.
I'll be here all day.
That was so perfect.
She's so quick, man. She freaks me out. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with the Magnificent Seven. And I'm Heidi. You're into the soup. Woohoo!
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Heidi. Welcome back. You're into the soup. Right now we're going to do our weekly Wet Your Whistle. I love that. I thought that was great alliteration. We'd like to tip our hats to Local First Arizona. Shift 10%. Shift 10% to your purchase of a locally owned business and support our community and our economy. LocalFirstAZ.org. The weekly Wet Your Whistle is from Virtu Honest Craft, that Machiavellian joint down in Old Town Scottsdale. And we've got, what's your name?
Fernando.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm good. Thank you for making me this cocktail.
Yeah.
I really kind of, I'm enjoying it immensely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of ingredients and a lot of things that you need, so I'm not even going to attempt it. So if you are, and what is your position here at Virtu?
I'm a bartender over here.
You are a bartender. Did you create this cocktail?
I did not create this cocktail.
You did, who did?
It was either Kaylee or Jason Asher.
Oh, right on. Okay, and it is called a?
It's called the Ronin Rye.
Okay, and can you explain what's in it and how you put it together? Because I'm having, it's yummy. Go ahead.
It's absolutely delicious.
Take it away, Fernando.
What we're going to do is we put it into put all these ingredients into one of our stirring tins.
It looks like a beaker.
Yeah, it's kind of like a beaker.
Okay.
It's a Pyrex, yeah.
That always reminds me of the Muppets. Go ahead.
All right, so we're going to get three basil leaves.
Okay.
We're going to put them on the bottom of the glass. We're going to put our ingredients in, and there is falling. We're going to put 1.5 ounces of Templeton rye. We're going to do 1/2 ounce of Froid de Bois, which is going to be a strawberry kind of liqueur.
Can you spell that?
S-F-R-A-I-S-E. D-E-B-O-I-S.
Cool. I thought you were going to spell strawberry, but anyway, go ahead.
We're going to do 1/2 ounce of Punta Mes, which is going to be a vermouth.
Okay.
It's a red wine-based bitters.
Oh, wow.
We're going to muddle up the basil leaves slightly so we can get the alcohol to permeate throughout the basil leaf.
Okay.
So we can release the flavors. Muddle that up. We're going to stir it. Then we're going to double strain it to make sure we don't have any little basil leaves inside of the cocktail.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we're going to put a large block of ice in there. We're going to slap a piece of basil and put it on top.
Well, it's an absolutely beautiful cocktail.
Awesome. Glad you enjoyed it. Yeah.
Thanks for coming in and doing that for me.
You got it.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
A great Saturday.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Renato. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Okay, so we have got to go back to picking up on the James Beard thing. So were you guys – oh, and welcome back, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. This is so fun. So I looked up James Beard – and being, like, invited to come and cook there, were you invited? Did you throw your name in the hat?
We were begging.
Were you?
We all wanted a really good excuse to go party in New York City, yeah.
Is that what it was?
Exactly what it was.
Not for me, it wasn't.
All 9 hours of it. Yeah.
So did you have to, like, because it sounds like a secret society, the way I'm reading this thing, you know, it's like they wear robes.
There's a secret handshake. You have to wear an ascot and a smoking jacket. Yeah, it's kind of like that. You have to bring a pipe with you, yeah.
Oh, you do? Cool. What kind of pipe? See, I knew someone was going to admit it. Thank you, Kelly. So you guys put your name in the ballot, and what did you have to say about yourselves? No, did you have to talk about your food, your experience? Was it like writing a resume? Go ahead, Steven.
Yeah, essentially it was kind of like writing a resume. There was a bunch of different questionnaires and things that they asked about us, asked from us. And it was all on their part. It was kind of a twofold thing. Yeah, we wanted to go there. We wanted to do this thing. We wanted to go and cook at the James Beard House. As a chef, it's on your bucket list.
Sure.
So it's one of those things. And then the other side of it was is that, you know, there hasn't been a James Beard winner in Arizona in quite some time, a decade, right?
2007, right? Wasn't it Nobu?
Yeah,
the last one
was Nobu, yeah. 2007. So it's been quite a time. And Arizona's kind of been quiet on that national level when you think about the James Beard Awards like that. And they are now picking up on that as well, you know. And now you look around, there's restaurants all over Arizona where some of these guys are cooking their tails off, you know, and doing really good jobs at it. So they wanted to give an opportunity some chefs from Arizona to come out and show the East Coast what we can do.
Great.
And so when they asked us, we jumped at it, and then it was Party Girl Central from there.
Yeah. So how long were you there, and did you all fly together?
No, we all took separate flights.
Yeah. Colin and I flew together. Kelly, Bernie, and Scott flew together.
Okay.
And then everyone else kind of arrived on their own.
They were all there
for about a week,
right?
You guys were there for about a week?
Yeah,
I was there for less than 24 hours.
Really?
I flew in, did the dinner, and left.
Oh, well, yeah. That sucks for you.
That's
yes,
fun.
It wasn't much fun for me. I was very tired.
When did this happen? Tell me.
It was second to last week of November.
November 20th.
Last 2015.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did it just completely ask what?
It was badass. I think it went perfectly, didn't it, guys?
Oh, it was awesome.
Okay, yeah. So let's start with Gio. Because you all made different dishes, correct?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so someone's going to have to fill in and let me know what Colin, Bernie, and Scott did. So go ahead. Why don't you do Bernie?
Bernie did he did one of the past appetizers because there's a certain criteria you have to do in your past appetizers. And then we did, I don't know, 4 or 5 courses, and then we all did desserts together. Bernie did
pork belly pastrami,
but he also did some his cured fish. I can't remember the name of the fish, though.
It
was
a cobia, tapioca.
Right. And then he had some tapioca on it. I mean, it was really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Tapioca on a piece of cured fish?
It was pretty cool.
Awesome. Did the tapioca have a flavor?
Yeah, was it fish sauce or curry or something? Was it like some
fish sauce?
The fish was cured with lavender, though.
Well, gee, too bad Cullen's not here.
It was some Asian.
Sleeping it off somewhere.
I don't remember. I don't remember exactly how it went, but it was awesome. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I did a smoked duck dish with castagnaccio, which is a traditional chestnut tort, so to speak. And then a gianduja Pinot Noir reduction.
What's that first word?
Gianduja. It's chocolate hazelnut.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Isn't that on your menu here, too?
It was.
It was?
It was,
okay.
Yeah. It's since been taken off. But, yeah, it was on. I had that exact dish on the menu for quite some time.
Very
just
nice.
To show what we did in New York.
Okay.
Which was kind of fun.
Very cool. All right, Josh, you're up, bub.
I had the first course, and I did uni biscuits and gravy. We had we had dark squid ink and wasabi biscuits with uni gravy, pickled ginger, and crispy leeks.
Very nice.
That was a fun dish.
Let's move through this because remind me to ask you something about service, okay? So who do you want to do? Scott?
I'll do Scott. Scott did his world famous barbecued brisket with Snake River Farms brisket, and so he used a Wagyu for it. And then he just had a little bit of he did barbecue sauce, and then corn grit cake.
Yeah. Tell people what, because not everybody knows all these culinary terms. What's Wagyu beef?
Wagyu is Kobe, basically like the same breed of cow that they used to make Kobe beef. So it's a fattier beef.
So it's fat.
Yeah, and it's a nice fattier brisket. It was pretty much like off the charts.
And
yeah.
Then a grit cake's like a cake made out of grits.
What?
Yep.
Thanks, Emily.
From down south, there it comes in.
She just plops in and gives these little gut splitters for us.
You asked.
I want you here. So who's next?
Kelly.
Kelly. Hey, Kelly's next.
What's going on? What do you want from me?
Huh?
What did you make?
More than you have to offer.
So actually, I did two different tray pass for the opening of the dinner, and one of them was kind of a surf and turf with a seared tuna and pork skin surf and turf type concept, and the other one was kind of a collaboration.
What?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know, because I think the problem is that Fernet at 9 a.m. is the worst idea in the world.
One of the greatest, funniest stories happened with these pork chips, with these pork rinds.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Do you want to tell it, or do you want Steven to tell it?
You know what? I don't. Steven's going to make it worse. He's
let him do it then, because that's way more fun. Yeah, remember, it's theater for the mind. All go right. For it, Steven.
We're going to steal the mic for a quick second here. Okay. So, in the middle of dinner, Kelly's getting set up. Remember, he's doing the past that. So we need to get going.
Okay.
I'm focusing on helping someone else play or do something, and all I feel is a tap on my shoulder saying help me. I'm like help me. I turn around and look. Kelly proceeded to dump all of the pork skins in the fryer at the same time.
Oh.
And now, I don't know if you've ever fried pork skins before, if you can imagine it, but they expand. And by expand, they tend to triple in size in a small little fryer. So when we look back, I turn around, pork skins everywhere. All over the place, everywhere, coming
it's
out
like
the fryer,
pop,
on the floor.
You know, when you put it on
so
the
exactly. So then Steven taps me on the shoulder and goes, check this out. And that's when everybody starts to laugh. So, I mean, that's just what happens.
Yeah, so I proceeded to bring the show the entire time I was there, which was great. But yeah, I did that. I did one that was a bit of a collaboration between Josh and I. It was a dish that Josh had actually presented, which was a chicken liver mousse and wrapped in nori. And then I did it different than Josh, like his interpretation of it. And then I did the dessert, like the rest of the guys. We all did dessert. And we all... Okay. You know, brought everything we could
and
possibly.
And how many people were you serving?
80. It was, yeah.
82.
It was more than a sellout by James Beard House terms. They actually sell out at 72, and then they take all the furniture out of the boardroom upstairs if they still have demand, and they seated another 10 people in the boardroom upstairs. It was like the five flights of stairs we had to walk up to go say thanks
really?
At the end. After, like, you know, a 16-hour day. But, you know,
but
it was
cool. So you didn't have servers?
No, we had servers. We just we had to go say hi to everybody and give a little speech and stuff.
So. Okay. All right, Steven, what did you prepare? Today I prepared for you.
Oh, well, today I prepared for you. No. I did a veal sweetbreads dusted in mesquite flour with a chestnut mousse as well as some Granny Smith apples, black trip and mushrooms, and then a reduction.
How did you cook those off?
Which ones?
The veal.
The sweetbreads? Sweetbread, yeah. I fried them in the same fryer that he blew up.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Did they have a faint pork little bag?
No, we actually had to have the dishwashers actually clean it up.
Oh, nice.
And then I did dessert. Then for dessert, I did I did monkey bread for dessert.
Monkey bread?
Yeah.
Okay, so what little twist did you put on monkey bread to make it really not monkey
bread? Well, I mean, to do it, you know, I made the bread there, but I also I used sorghum to keep it southern and inspired with. So kept it still traditional, but I used sorghum instead of like molasses or brown sugar.
Okay, very cool. All right, cool. So I read on the James Beard thing. So this was an amazing thing for you guys, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and it was made more amazing by the picture I'm showing you right now.
Who is that?
And unfortunately, not all of us could experience this, but about 12:30, 1 o'clock, the executive assistant of the James Beard House walked in with a gentleman and said, gentlemen, to the three or four of us still working, said, somebody popped by to do an interview, and they wanted to say hello and wish you farewell and good luck for tonight. And it was Jeremiah Tower, who was one of the first James Beard Award winners there ever was, longtime chef of Chez Panisse and Stars, and somebody who we all consider an amazing hero, so it only made the trip that much cooler.
So did you get all tingly and, you know,
we did.
Sweat
yeah,
a
and
bit?
And by the way, if he's going to mention my screw-ups, by the way, Stephen Jones actually introduced himself to Jeremiah Tower as, hi, I'm Stephen Jones from Vertu. And I looked at him, I go, you're not from Vertu. He goes, I didn't know what to say.
Nice. Okay, we are going to take a little break, and we will be back with these wonderful guys. Is everybody having fun?
Yes.
Okay, is this great? Okay, oh, also we want to say, you remember how to do this, Josh. So you can find the recipe for the Ronan Rye on
IntoTheSoup.com.
We got to sing it, everybody. IntoTheSoup.com. Twitter. All right, we'll be right back. This is Heidi Lee.
It's been a long night here.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, don't make me turn this car around, or because I said so, or don't make me come back there. I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. Don't make me come back there. Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. Don't make me come back there. Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
I will not lie, but if you ask where I'm staying tonight, I gotta be like, oh, baby, no, baby, you got me all wrong, baby, my baby's already got all of my love.
Hey, this is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup.
I love my dog. This is so fun.
We're going to dive into our Soup of the Week, which is brought to you by the Arizona Culinary Institute. Arizona Culinary Institute, where passion becomes profession. They are open and enrolling 24/7. Their next day classes start February 22nd, and their next night classes start April 11th. For those of you that do not know, I am a recent graduate and alumni of the program. Give me a woot, woot. Oh, yeah, well, that was great. Jeez, what enthusiasm we've got around this table. But you can go to www.azculinary.edu, or you can call them at 480-603-1066, Arizona Culinary Institute. Our soup is, Joshua, pay attention, get
our
off your phone.
Our soup today is popcorn soup, made with fresh popcorn.
What else is in it?
It's actually a pretty simple 4 or 5 ingredient soup. We sweat a little garlic and onions and a little bit of fresh butter.
Fresh butter as opposed to rancid butter?
Exactly, exactly. Until translucent. And then we pop an exorbitant amount of popcorn, because we all know what happens when you spill a soda on your popcorn while you're watching a movie. It disintegrates into almost nothing.
Right. And so did he put it in the fryer kind of like Kelly did with his
pork
rinds.
Use a deep fryer with your pork rinds. So, and then we add a little bit of corn stock. So you just take, after you scrape the corn kernels off your corn cobs, simmer your corn cobs for about 30 minutes,
nice.
Strain it off, and then we add just tons and tons and tons of popcorn to it, puree it, grate a little Parmesan into it, strain it, and we have a soup that tastes exactly like popcorn.
I've had that soup before.
Isn't it delicious?
It is delicious, and I'm not really a big fan of popcorn, but I like your soup.
Cool, thanks.
So, you know, that's a big deal, really.
Kind of. Right, absolutely.
All right. before we move on and talk to the boys, the Magnificent Seven, actually the Fabulous Four, the other three aren't here. I want to talk about some events that are coming up. Arizona Culinary Institute is starting their wine flight schools. And so February 17th, it is a four wines and four pairings. And tickets are $55, which includes your tip and tax. And I've been to a couple of these before. Our chefs, you know, sit down with our sommelier, and they come up with these beautiful dishes, and the students prepare it and serve it, and it's actually pretty cool. We've got a beautiful dining room there. Then again, we have No More Chili Nights, which is a fundraiser and a chili cook-off, and yours truly will be there judging, which is going to be interesting. But it is February 20th. It's in Chandler, and it goes to benefit the closedcabin.org, and they provide needy people with clothing and household items. So it's kind of neat. And there's going to be, it's like local fire department, the mayor's going to do a chili. So that's also on the site. And finally, I met Tonopah Rob out in Buckeye. You guys ever heard of him? It's like a mad scientist gardener. He's a trip. Everything natural. No pesticides, no insecticides, nothing. He's got bees. He's got jams and jellies. He's a very, very interesting person. And so, again, sound like it's, I'm such a pimp for ACI, right? ACI students and faculty are going to be preparing the meal for him out there. And you can find more information on, ready? You got to do it. IntoTheSoup.com. Yes, they did it. Okay. What else do you want to talk about? Anything? What's going on? What's going on for Valentine's Day? I know Steven's like not into it, but.
I'm off.
You're off.
Lucky
oh, wait. Wait.
Yeah, at Valentine's Day, it's an awesome day, and it's a terrible day because it's, you know, it's the busiest day of the year, and it's also my birthday, so I never get off on my birthday.
Oh, okay, is that a double entendre you've got going? You never get off on your birthday?
Wow.
So many places to go with it.
Which is why you have no children that were born in November, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't get off anyway. I got two kids. So. But anyway, I do an all chocolate menu.
So
I do an all chocolate menu here at Ritz. I've been doing it since we've opened, and I've done it at other restaurants too before. But yeah, there's a chocolate component in each part of the menu, which each dish of the menu. It's actually really cool.
So everybody walks out of here on a total sugar high.
No, because not all chocolate is sweet.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
not all. You know, not all chocolate has sugar in it. So it's kind of a cool little treat.
Are you sold out?
I don't know if we're sold out yet, but the whole weekend's pretty insanely busy. So, so I check Open Table or call the restaurant.
All right. What's your phone number?
It's 480-946-3477 and, see if we have any space available.
That's really nice. I recommend anybody to come here because it's a lovely experience and it's actually very, very romantic as well. Joshua's place looks like you walked into something off Manhattan. It's cool,
yeah,
but it's really like, you
modern
know,
and cool and
it's
posh. And fun looking. Yeah.
It's posh, don't you know?
It's posh.
Roy. What are you doing for?
We are. We never change what we do. We're still doing improvisational cuisine, and we certainly have a lot of fun ingredients. There may be a few double entendres on the menu that evening. Who knows?
Oh, really?
But kind of have a little fun with it. But we're pretty much sold out on Sunday and Saturday.
Okay.
Again, it always makes sense to call the day up because you never know when there's a last-minute cancellation.
Okay, great, cool.
But, you know, there's still some room on Friday, and we'll be running all the fun stuff all the time. So we're going to have a good time with it.
And you have your ramen nights every Tuesday.
Ramen night every Tuesday. No reservations. Show up early because it's usually pretty full. So.
It is usually pretty full. I've been there, and it's like, what is it? Are they all the same price, $12?
$12 a bowl.
Okay, $12 a bowl. And it's a big bowl.
Yeah, it's a big bowl.
And then can you...
Do you get offended if people don't slurp loudly?
No, it's all good. People can slurp at their leisure.
That's not
There's
true.
Definitely like a difference.
I've been sitting at the end of the bar, and he's like, I better be able to hear you slurp all the way over. And that could be a double entendre also. That could be like...
Depends on who you're with, Kelly. That's awesome. Actually, I've dined in Posh a lot, so it's really cool. Are you going to be at El Toro on Valentine's Day?
I will. Yeah, I'll be there.
Do you have any double entendre menu items coming up, or is Charles like totally against that?
We're going to do some cool things. We're doing a soup. It's going to be...
You know, okay,
now
see, everybody jumps on. And
we're
going to
be doing a soup.
I should have said we're going to be doing Into the Soup. We're going to be doing...
No, you're not.
A real double entendre. But anyway... like with a beet cream, so it's going to be served actually table side. So it's going to be really kind of cool the way that it's going to bleed into the white soup. So it's going to be really, really funky, weird, but
I don't know what else to tell you. I'm having a hard time because everybody else at the table is staring at me.
It's because you said beet cream. How you doing over there, Steven?
sounds like an appetizer for singles.
And we need a collective cigarette right now.
Did you hear what Emily just said?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I actually got the recipe out of the cookbook, Natural Harvest. Now it's out of control.
I love my and, job.
God, I.
Oh God. Okay, Steven, you're off.
I'm off. This year I'm going to avoid Valentine's Day dinner service. I mean, it's fun. I've been doing it for a long time, but I think I've earned it. I think.
Yeah.
To be able to just hang out and chill out and not do nothing.
And it's a Sunday.
And it's a Sunday.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
The only part that sucks is football will be over.
Oh yeah, it will. And that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anybody betting on anybody? The Broncos and the Panthers?
Panthers by at least 2 touchdowns.
If you go by what's happening in Vegas right now, if you've checked out any of the stories.
No, I haven't.
I'm surprised there hasn't been some kind of a line adjustment because they're saying it's like overwhelmingly Carolina. The house has got to figure out a way to make money. It'd be interesting. They still have to play the football game. So.
Well, yeah.
Given Sunday.
It just sucks if it's a blowout. You know, that's probably why the commercials are so awesome, because otherwise, you know,
they get to have it in San Francisco, too, so if it's, you know, at least it's going to be in the greatest city in the United States.
It is the greatest city in the United States?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you agree with that, Gio? Look, he's over, he's got his arms across his chest.
Jersey doesn't count. Jersey does not count.
Jersey's a state, first
not
of all.
A city.
No, New York is the best city in the world, period.
In the world?
Yeah.
New York?
Oh, yeah. New York City.
No.
I'm going to have to say Chicago.
I thought you were going to say New Orleans.
Whatever. Chicago's awesome, but it's not better than New York. Sorry.
Yes, it is. Definitely.
No.
Do you have a favorite city in the world, Emily?
Detroit. Just kidding.
For the water.
That's Flint.
I think Seattle's a pretty cool city. No.
Chicago.
Just like,
Paris of the West.
Okay, so is anybody doing Super Bowl stuff? I know you are.
I am, yeah. We're roasting a whole pig and inviting all the downtown Phoenixites and all their hipster gear to come down and hang out with us and watch the football.
Hipsters?
Oh, yeah.
Hipsters going hip.
We embrace the hipsters downtown.
You do.
Well, so if you don't have a handlebar or mustache, you can't come?
No, definitely not you.
What, do you have to wear a hat and smoke clothes?
And wear skinny jeans.
I'm so glad I'm not wearing a hat right now.
isn't Bernie the hat guy? Doesn't he adorn hats? That was one of my questions for him. It's like, what's your favorite hat?
Wow.
Because he has a lot of them, right? Yeah. I wish they were all here. We'll try it again another day. Okay, so since you are the Magnificent Seven or the Super Seven, we're actually going to go around the table, and I want you to tell me if you had one or if you do have one, what is your superpower? Go. Steven's your superpower?
Thank you, Gio. I don't know. Mind reading.
Mind reading. Oh, that would make me feel so self-worthless.
Are we talking about like a superpower that we currently think we have or a superpower that we would desire?
You can take it either way or both.
Wow.
From Kelly, I would like both.
I don't know. You know what? I would love to be invisible. That'd be great if I could do invisibility. That'd be awesome. And
maybe borrow the cloak from Harry Potter. Sorry.
And I think my other superpower would probably be smoking cloves and wearing a hat.
Okay.
That would be where I would go.
What's your? You can pick another one if you want.
Putting. I'm a very good putter. I make a lot of long putts on the golf course. It's pretty magical, actually.
Is it? Okay.
Fantastic. I'm a great scramble.
Are you going to go to the Open? At all this
I might
week?
Sneak out on Sunday morning. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's quite a scene down there. You?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my current superpower is eating. And the one I wish I had was flying.
To fly?
Yeah, who wouldn't want to fly? How cool would that be?
You know what?
That means you have to stop eating. You have to get lighter.
I have to stop eating. What do you mean? There's blimps in the sky right over the Phoenix Open right now. What are you talking about?
Those are also hollow.
Awesome. Just like you, they're full of hot air.
Superpower? Do you have a superpower?
Because
I'm with Gio. I'm fly. Fly would be great. Especially with all the traffic going on the Hayden 101 loop. Don't go there. What, you?
Come on. Yeah, I mean, it's flight or invisibility. Those are the most popular, I think.
An invisible flyer?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool, too. Don't you think?
Yeah.
How many minutes do we have left, girl?
We could do another eight.
Eight?
Nine.
Oh, God. Okay, everybody ready? Help me out here, because I'm kind of running out of steam. So, going to the James Beard place, okay?
Right, back to New York. So
let's go back to New York. Have you seen any, like, very, you know, return on investment with this for yourself, for your restaurant, for Arizona?
I think the media really jumped on it really well, and it's been a good thing because it really, the whole idea was really to showcase Arizona and our diversity of food and cooking.
And that
styles.
Was your guys' goal. Serving or.
We have to give it up to MMPR, who is Cullen's PR team.
Right.
Who put the whole event together and did all the heavy lifting for us as well.
Okay.
So, we wouldn't have gotten where we were without them. Yeah, Scottsdale, Phoenix, CBB. Yeah.
Okay.
We got a lot of local community support.
Convention and Visitor Bureau, CBB. Yeah.
We,
okay. Yeah. All right.
No, it was, I mean, it, right? It was, I mean, it was a fabulous week full of a lot of really cool stuff. A lot of work went into it. But, it, you know, at the end of the day, we've done this enough times, we all just bring it together.
Okay. Did you actually bring your product with you?
Yes.
Okay. So was that like a requirement? Everything comes from Arizona?
Yeah, we really push for that. And also, I want to throw in Dominic Armato, who really, really, he pushed it. He really put it out there.
He's the new voice of reason for the AZ Republic,
really,
right?
He was amazing and experienced a lot of things that he probably wishes that he didn't. Just even better. But, you know, we went to lunch with him and we had a good time. And
I think we scared him.
A lot. I think it was
because we just. It was one of those great things. Like I think he knows. He thinks he knows us all pretty well, or at least some of us. But we sat down at this amazing place called Bavette in the West Village, and I looked at the server and I said, "Just bring us one of everything." And then we got a bottle of white wine, a bottle of red wine,
just
before,
one each.
Right before. Well, there were four of us. So
oh, okay.
This was also before the dinner started. This was lunch. Day of.
It was the day of.
Yeah, it was like 3 o'clock.
So. Dinner started at 7.
I wouldn't be able to eat a thing. Were you nervous about it at all?
No.
No nerves?
I think we're pretty cool. Our heads were in a good place, you know?
Yeah, we feed off of each other really well as a team, so.
So when you came up with these dishes, were they completely unique for you? Or did you use, you know, past stuff so you felt a little more comfortable? Or did you just, you know, throw discretion to the wind and bang it out?
I think it was a little bit of both. You know, I think from a technique side, I think there no one was experiencing or doing something, trying something that you've never done before. That the James Beard House isn't the place where you go and try and do things you've never done before.
Oh, is that what you were going to say?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, you want to showcase what you do. You know,
what you do well.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're not going to go and experiment with something new, because then if you fall on your face at James Beard House, you're kind of
throwing all your pork rinds into one fryer. I love that.
You know what's funny?
So funny?
What's funny is that was one of the great things. I think that we did like a practice run at Posh. All seven of us showed up.
We did.
So it was like we did a practice run for everybody in the valley. And the great thing was that I think that some of us, I'll speak for myself, it was much to my chagrin. I was like, I don't have time for this. I can't do this pop-up. And usually I'm really all for it, but I was like, no, I can't do this. And Josh pushed for it really hard, and we did it. And I was so thankful that we did it, that we had a practice run. That it was like, once I walked away, I went, this was the smartest thing we could have done, was actually.
Okay. So you did a practice run with diners?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't understand that. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's a little pre-dinner for all the locals who weren't going to hop on a jet and go to see us in New York City. So
yeah, so you had some.
Why should New Yorkers get all the fun, right?
I don't know. I mean, you know, if you think about it, what you guys did in promoting Arizona, which is what Into the Soup is really all about, promoting local, supporting the culinary arts so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. And I've been working with Kelly and Joshua since like 2009, just pushing that message. God, I've only had half of this drink. Pushing that message. And you guys going out there and doing what you do just reinforces that and lets people know that we are a dining destination and the talent that comes out of this, not just this city, but our state in general.
I think also what one of the things that happened was that I'm not taking shots at like Franklin Barbecue, but what I'm saying is that when Kevin Binkley, he's been nominated, what, 5 times?
Mm.
And he still hasn't hit it. And when he lost in 2015 to Franklin Barbecue, we were
I think everybody, anybody in the culinary field should have been up in arms and went, wait, wait, this isn't right. And so I think as Arizona people, we kind of, as chefs, we looked at it and went, you know what, let's go show them what Arizona actually does so that they actually recognize that, hey, by the way, you know, you can't compare Arizona and Texas like that. I mean, it's like Kevin Binkley is not compared to Franklin Barbecue by any stretch.
Of course not.
I mean, and he's a super talent. So it was kind of one of those things where we just wanted to really go prove a point and say, hey.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, and I'm happy for all of you. I mean, that's really great. And I'm really thankful for you being here today. I certainly appreciate it and your support of me and Into the Soup and what we're trying to do. So it's a lot of fun. I love what I do. All right. Around the table one more time. Who you are, where you play.
Duoso, Virtue Honest Craft, and Nico Heirloom Kitchen.
Very nice.
I am Josh from Posh, Improvisational Cuisine.
Nice. Kelly.
Kelly Fletcher from El Choro Lodge.
Stephen Jones from DeSoto Central Market.
Hi, my name's Colin Campbell from Crudo.
I'm Bernie Jantak from the Gladly and Citizen Public House over there.
Hi, and I'm Scott Holmes. I'm from Little Miss Barbecue.
I'm Jacob Coutinho, and I'm the homeboy hot sauce guy. Yeah, I do hot sauce guy.
This is why,
that's
boys?
What you get for not showing up, boys.
Exactly it. Oh, I love this sandbox. It's so much fun.
God, I wish I would have actually done Bernie now, because he's got this thing where he goes, hey, Fletcher, you want a shot? I wish I would have been in that one.
And your answer always is?
Yeah, of course we do.
Thank you, my dear. Emily King.
My pleasure.
Rockin' Radio Redhead. We have a great show for you next week. Thanks, you guys. That was absolutely
fantastic. Thank you for having us. Thank you for coming over, too.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Having fun with us.
Yep, it was a pleasure. Chef Mel Macinas of Four Seasons Resort in Talavera and Steve Krause of Press Coffee. We're going to be up there at Four Seasons, sitting on the patio, enjoying the view, and probably having some sort of snack and hopefully a cocktail. Anyway, you guys are fantastic. Everybody say goodbye. Ready? Bye.
So long.
This is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. Take care of each other. Take care of yourself. Peace out.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.